This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 27th of December, 1951. The title of this lecture is Miracles in Dianetics. This lecture is 64 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Today, there are a couple of new techniques. Let me see. I've started nearly every speech that way now for many months. Fortunately, the situation is under control. Under my control, anyway, and I'm going to try to put it under your control. It's with considerable glee that I can announce to you that the number of hours you will be spending sweating over a hot brain has been markedly decreased. It may be decreased in the average cases to as little as 10 hours. In some cases, it may be decreased, as far as you're concerned, to a little gab-gab, walla-walla before and after. It takes an auditor, though, several reasons. One of the best reasons being the innate and cussed impersistence of a human being trying to help himself. Even got a solution to that. Now, we left the first echelon of Dianetics research, by the way, here. You can blame this on Phoenix. Phoenix, great winter resort, you know. People go down to Phoenix, and the sun shines brightly every day, except every other day when it rains. Or that is, clouds up. By the way, you guys from Phoenix, don't take this back and tell the Chamber of Commerce this. But they build the houses cold and the weather fairly warm. And I gave a talk down there Sunday, and got into so much argification, sputification, and so forth, that I sort of talked myself into a frog. And I previously laid down a postulate, by the way, that making this postulate would not further affect me. Anyway, we left the first echelon of Dianetics behind us about 3 or 4 months ago. Don't know its exact moment, but it came with the identification of the life static in a workable form of definition. Now, that was quite a jump. And what you have been watching since is the scramble to catch up with just that definition, that's all. It can be proven very easily that we are dealing for the first time in mathematical or physical history with what could be called a true static. Now, that's of great interest perhaps to a mathematician. It's certainly of great interest to a nuclear physicist. But it's much more interest to you. The identity of life energy and the identity of thought in the descriptive form with the phenomena which will demonstrate this descriptive form to be the case. Now, that was quite a jump. It made a big difference in things. We have traveled at this moment clear on through the second echelon. And that was simply the application of this energy when identified, energy, quote unquote, to techniques of application for the rehabilitation of human beings. The third echelon of this is already knocking at the door. Now, whether that third echelon is caught up with now or 2,000 years from now, I don't know at this moment. But I do know this. We wouldn't have to have another confounded thing from here on than what we have. In addition to that, we have a package in which this is enclosed, this book, Handbook for Preclears. And this package, running in short editions and available to you in the field, will pick up the successive small points which may follow or refine out of this. So we're not going to have a disorderly advance. We have this thing codified into 15 acts. Parts of those acts may change. Their general sequence probably will not change. The new points, the new buttons, the new slots in the chart, or maybe a new column on a chart, can be issued. But an overall understanding of this subject, basically, then will make it possible for you to follow through with any preclear. Just by checking every new issue of a book you get, you'll see there's probably a couple points changed in there. For instance, right now, this book lacks two things. Just two things. One is the approval button, and the other is the column on the chart, and they're really both the same thing. There are several other little minor improvements that have come out, because after all, this book was published over 10 days ago. And the point I'm trying to make is that part of my struggle was to achieve a codification of the subject to such a degree that merely by changing some minor part of procedure here and there from time to time, it could be kept up to date. Now that means that one of the goals announced in the earliest publications on Dianetics has been achieved. A rendition of technique on a level of simplicity, very easy to understand, and a reduction, a marked reduction, by about 80,000% of the number of times an individual has to spend on a case. So, with the book here, an auditor is actually able to stand by on a case with a minimum of indoctrination and handle this, through this book, a very large number of preclears. You know what I mean by randomity? Well, an auditor is supplied with some randomity. He's talking to Susie Glutz and Jones and Bill and so forth, and he can generally talk to them on the other end of the telephone. Or he can give them 15 minutes in his office. And he can straighten this out for him and that out for him. There are various ways that he can get his money for having done so if it continues to be the case that auditors have to eat. Now, we have then something also which cuts down re-stimulation for the auditor. Sometimes an auditor does a lot of auditing as something like a horse on a treadmill. He gets up the last couple of sessions with the last preclear yet. And he just barely keeping ahead of himself. His own case does not have a chance to proceed. Well, if you don't have to step in there very much, listing lots of phrases and situations and sob stories and this, that sort of thing, your own case can get up on top and stay up on top. Particularly since you can resolve a case fast enough now so that it doesn't have a chance to slump. Now, you could, for instance, tell Mr. Doakes that if he would just go up to this summer resort, Leaky Boat Lake or something, and apply himself for a few days to this book, he can come back and the little wife probably won't bother him anymore. In other words, do an environmental separation on a relatively short time basis, according to what I have found, and be able to achieve results with your preclear instead of crawling uphill 1 inch and having the family throw him back 5 inches. Now, that still takes a little arranging. Been looking for a long time for the magic button, the very, very magic button. He came up with 12 buttons. Effort processing, emotional processing, and thought processing are evidently the three areas of action that the auditor must address. They evidently are no more, unless somebody stands up and swoops down from Valhalla or something, or with a new technique whereby you strike two sparks off the left-hand sword and the preclear gets 9 feet tall. But it would just be about as miraculous as that. That's about it. An auditor can take this book, hand it to his preclear. An auditor could even run a little evening schoolwork for his preclears. They could come in a couple times a week, something like that, or he could have several classes. People come in and study what they're supposed to do, or catch up on it, indoctrination in it, or he can just turn it loose and trust to God and try to instruct them little by little here and there. There is a book simpler than this which is going to be written. This book is for your boys who can read and write without moving their lips and everything. The next book is an effort to put it within the comprehension of an 8 or 9 year old child. Same techniques. That's going to be quite a little trick. And I imagine you'll probably be using it on the bulk of your preclears. Therefore, I will try to keep from making examples about little turtles and cute things in it. But we have here 15 acts. This book coordinates with the book Advanced Procedure. This is more up to date. Advanced Procedure was written some weeks before this book was written. Now, it has been a considerable struggle, if you have been out there in the field, how we went ahead and relayed these techniques. How do we relay them to you? How can we get them to you? How can we be absolutely sure that you're going to be able to handle these things at the other end of the line? We have found by experience that it is pretty difficult to take a procedure as complex as effort processing and put it down in a book or in a few pages and send it to somebody and have him understand the whole thing. Therefore, we have a basic technique. Effort processing is worth running 1,000 engrams out of a case. I mean, a few hours of effort processing. It's quite remarkable since it exhausts the basic action difficulty with a case. Now, the text on advanced procedure is the best one available at this moment. It will be some little time before another text on advanced procedure comes out, because I'm making sure that that next text is going to be standard. During these 4 days, I hope to tell you what I know about effort processing, emotional processing, and thought processing. I want you, when you sail out of here, to know you know what this is about. The whole staff at the foundation, as far as questions, answers, demonstrations, and so forth, is at your disposal. Because this very well may be, for a long time to come, the last conference. So I want you to know, and know you know, effort processing, emotional processing, and thought processing, as delineated, so that as new techniques develop, they can be written up as addenda. special sheets sent you to bring your own books up to date are changed for each new issue with short issues, and an instruction line written up to send to you as to any small alteration which has taken place. I'd rather astonish you that the general line of operation has now made really a complete circle. We are back at 1938 on the word survive. We find out on my investigation that there was quite a bit more to be learned about this word survive. There's a tremendous amount to be learned. We're actually taking out there again, but now we have a bridge built. We have a tremendous amount of phenomena. There are over 200 new phenomena concerning the human mind have been uncovered in Dianetics in the short space of time of 20 years. And that is probably more phenomena than has ever before been uncovered about the human mind in any period. Now, it all came up on finding one button. And the second you found that one survive button, the rest of this stuff started to unwind so fast. It was as though you had it in a deep vat someplace with a spring cover on it. And the second that you released the safety catch, it exploded. It's been there waiting for a long time. If I've done anything, it would just suddenly say, well, that must be the button and spring the catch. Bang. Out of all of this has proceeded a technique which now is actively capable of producing miracles almost at will. Talking now to you very generally. I'm going to talk to you specifically about these things later on. You know, we had one level we were going out on which was wrong. We can help every case when we get them into communication, when we do this and when we do that. We can help every case. We know that. All right. It's an Achilles heel. It's an Achilles heel. Because it denies the auditor the cooperation of the preclear to some degree. Well, if you can do this for me, well, you can do this for me. I don't have to work. You can even go to the extent now of saying, in most cases, this works. In most cases, like yours, it works. Of course, some intelligence and some persistence, part of the preclear, most cases, it works. Come off of this, it helps everybody stuff. Hasn't done us any good from the beginning. I cut our throats royally on that in the first book. Let's not go back and fall over the same one again. No point in it. Actuality is that the general intelligence of the individual in the world was grossly overestimated. And I mean grossly. You know those characters on the radio that write these radio scripts and say, well, we have to aim these at a 12-year-old intelligence. Let's try to shoot Dianetics at 2 years of age. People who just barely can talk. I'm afraid we'll hit the average public mean. I notice a lot of people don't listen to the radio. It's too complicated for them. Now, that's why we've got to have simplified book and so forth. But in the main, these tenets produce an entirely new line and plan of advance for Dianetics into the society, with lots less trouble and, I hope, a great deal more effectiveness. Now, one of these is the miracle. What's a miracle? Well, you take a miracle apart and you find out that a miracle is something which people consider hasn't been done. It's out of the ordinary. But it's more than that. A miracle is from cant to kin. You know, down south they work from kin to cant. Well, a miracle is from kant to kin. If you specialize on only kant to kin, you're all set. By that I mean black and white. Black and white. He can't see, he can see. He can't walk, he can walk. Can't get out of bed, now he walks. Can't hear, can hear. Black and white, black and white. And don't try it on any 100%. The guy's giving you trouble after you've spent 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours of your time on him. The hell with it. Get another one. Because you will succeed in saving the guy that you gave up on only if you desert his case early enough to permit you to go next door or down the block or someplace else and perform a miracle. Then the boy you just got through working on, of course, recovers. Bang. And you go ahead and slug on the idea that it's got to help every case. And you have everybody walking up to you not only with his jaw out, but with you addressed to that postulate. And you won't give up on a case. In other words, you're kept down the tone scale with regard to your preclears. That posture keeps you down there. If you take up something like, well, we'll help as many as we can. Helps most. Helps quite a few. Doesn't matter. Work on you? Oh, I don't know. Working on quite a few cases these days. Well, sure. Well, if you're willing to work hard on it, all right, here's the book. Goodbye. Call me up on Tuesday. Just about so. He doesn't recover, you say, well, so what? We took in 8 cases of arthritis. The first of the month, 1st of December, volunteer cases. 2 of them dropped out. We took in 10, rather. 2 of them dropped out almost immediately. One of them looked to the auditor, found the auditor had a dirty fingernail or something of the sort, and said, well, I don't want to go back to that place. And the other one just disappeared. I don't think that postulate processing or effort processing was used to make the preclear disappear. I think she's actually in existence someplace. Remaining 8, 7 showed very, very marked improvement. One of them didn't show very much. This was by the 10th, report I had on the 10th. I don't know what's happened to these people since. They had 10 days in which they'd been in the foundation, each one of them 2 or 3 days, something like that. Now, one of them, however, one of the 8, was an almost instantaneous remission. I don't think the girl could walk up and down stairs, could she? Was that the one? The doctor comes down to the foundation, he takes a look at this girl, and she goes up the stairs to the lecture hall like a gazelle. I wondered who this stunned-looking individual was sitting back there in the back row. And after the lecture, she went down the stairs like a gazelle. I think they gave the doctor oxygen or something. They brought him around. But here was an instantaneous, nearly, remission. Percentage, including those others, percentage on this series of cases, 10%. How much work on the part of the auditor? I don't know. I would have said roughly probably 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours maybe. No other work, no book, nothing like that. Well, that's very interesting. On that line, you say, well, 10% of the cases of arthritis, most of these 10% could probably be helped. Then you turn out a miracle. Kant to kin. The rest of these cases, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 more of them have come through. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. We're going to try to set up a long series of blind cases, long, nice, long series of blind cases, and we might take 10% of them and do something for their sight. 10 out of 100, maybe. 10 out of 100. One miracle site recovery is front page news in America. We say, well, we do it quite a bit of the time. Help you? Well, I don't know if we have time, but if you want to work hard. Sort of an attitude. Now, you take, little girl came down here from Indiana. Bed, paralyzed, waist down, so forth. I think at the end of about 9 hours, this girl of effort processing and nothing but effort processing was showing quite marked improvement. Marked. Case was cracked. I don't know whether this little girl is actually walking yet or not, but I know this girl is standing. That was the last report I had, was weeks ago. Is she walking yet? Well, it's liable to turn on anymore. It takes a little while for a number of years of paralysis to go by the boards. Now, rehabilitation on that might be slow. Might be next week before she's walking. Might be 2 or 3 weeks before she's running. But the main point is, here's polio. Polio cases which are badly crippled and in bed amongst children. You go around as an auditor and you persuade. It doesn't matter much whether you use just straight effort processing or process it on thought, something of the sort. If you just have somebody sit there and read the kid, the questions and things like that, you just make somebody work with this kid for a while, you could actually go around and spot yourself whatever kids there were in bed from polio in your neighborhood. You could even put a little ad in the paper, request for volunteers to read to polio cases. You get lots of them. You pick out some of these people that don't look normal and turn a book over to them and have them read it to the kid. Keep in touch with you as the auditor. And so, two of these kids in your whole area, New York City, two of these kids are walking at the end of a month. Boy, that's a pretty good percentage. I wouldn't worry about it. Chances are maybe 40, 50% of them will be, eventually. And the joker is if you kept at it, and if these other kids found out that 2% or 8% or 10% were walking, they'd start to walk too. So you'd eventually get 100%, but you don't get 100% in any way, shape, or form by telling people it's 100%. Say, well, it does some very interesting things. Don't try to give anybody much of a sales talk on it. It just does some interesting things. Large number of cases like yours, why, it helps out. Helps out hell. Now, you, each one of you, go out into the field with this book and the knowledge of effort processing and grabbed yourself 10 assorted cases of the camp to kin variety and produced a miracle in the community, we would probably be having to hire the Royal Horse Light Infantry to keep people off the backs of our necks. You know that. This circumvents newspapers and the purchase money for news stories. This circumvents directives, if any, from the AMA. This circumvents all these interesting letters that we keep getting from all over the field where the psychiatrist has just said that Hubbard is an insane asylum. Of course, quite incidental or accidental, you know, that they came up each one in this part of the country and that part of the country, all simultaneously with the same story. No connivance there. But it circumvents all of your N theta lines. Here's old Mr. Jones, been sitting on the porch there in a wheelchair many a day now, and people come back home from work, and there he is sitting on the porch in his wheelchair. And they know him. It's a nice thing to know somebody who was ill like that and say something to him, be nice to him, good and sympathetic, keep him real sick. And they say, well, how are you this evening, Mr. Jones? And he says, well, getting along pretty bad. I'm Right is pretty bad, though. All right. One day, they walk home from work. Mrs. Jones sweeping off the front porch. And they say, "What happened to you?" A feller came around here. He said he was an auditor, an editor or something. And I read me a book and I'm well. Right away, the community tries not to believe in Mr. Jones. But they won't be able to disbelieve him, because by just disbelieving in somebody, he doesn't disappear. Look at me. So you see a line of advance that'd be an interesting line of advance. Don had a blind man over here the other day, and he wanted to turn on the guy's sight in 12 hours instead of 15 or something of the sort. And he charged into the case like the light horse cavalry. And he ran him right straight to the incident. And the fellow all of a sudden says, "If I run this, I'll see you again." Bang! And he came up to present time. It's all right that Don didn't turn his sight. So what? There's lots of blind men. We're not going to run out of fodder. That's a very valuable lesson. It says that when you're turning on sight like that, you'd certainly better run sympathy, approval, and regret. Approval for being blind, approval for the person he's substituting the blindness for, and regret of what he's done, and just monkey with that for a while. And the way you get up a grief charge, then, we can add as an admonition, and having noticed this before, with running sympathy, blame, and regret, is just to run it until it blows, until a submarine compartment door couldn't keep it back. Don't pay any attention to the guy going to cry. He looks like he's going to cry. Don't get interested in the fact he's going to cry. Don't get all quivery and say, "Oh, boy, here I get that secondary." No, no, no. Just insist he runs some more sympathy and some more regret and some more desire for approval and so on. And the next thing you know, the case bears all the signs of Vesuvius about to erupt, see? And then you keep on processing the incidental stuff, and all of a sudden your case goes bang in your face. Or suddenly the incident just keys out, bang. You see? In other words, these techniques are insidious in that they can go in from the bottom of the case and blow it apart without you having to be very challenging about it. Well, therefore, let's take a lesson from these techniques themselves and go at the promulgation, dissemination of Dianetics more or less in the same way. Let's be awfully insidious. Be very interesting if a community suddenly found several sight recoveries on its hands. Three or four polio cases snapped to. Four or five arthritis cases recovered. Wouldn't that be interesting? What would people do? Well, I'll tell you, one of the things they'd do, they'd say, "What the hell's the matter with these damn newspapers?" But they don't carry stories on this stuff. That's interesting. Another thing they'd say to themselves is, "We have wronged Dianetics." You're going to develop, if you do that, a national emotional curve on Dianetics. Sympathy. Contribution. Everybody who's been very mean to it suddenly runs into the bright and smiling face of some little kid that's walking that didn't before. I'm going to say, "Jesus, was I wrong?" You come right down there about one on the tone scale. Contribution, sympathy, so forth. Just after we do this, don't let the sympathy kill you. Now, it's interesting But you see how this might be possible. We made another mistake. We have been willing to apply this to everything it would help. Well, you know, a 16-inch gun will kill rabbits. It will. We've been killing too many rabbits. Now, if you use this gun on its proper game, you're going to have remarkable regeneration. As a matter of fact, Dianetics, whether you realize it or not, is undergoing a very active regeneration throughout the country. Very active. Anytime I can climb on an airplane and have the guy sitting next to me tell me that he spent all last night talking about some subject like called Dianetics or something of the sort, and I said, was it Dianetics? And he said, yes. And he tells me all about this and how various things, and he tells me what this guy Hubbard evidently is a terror. He got 8 wives and beats puppy dogs to death or something of the sort. He tells me all about it. Very unconsciously, I broke out my typewriter. I got tired of listening to him after a while. He was a layman's opinion on the subject. And dragged out my typewriter and caught up a little bit on some work. And I ran a piece of stationery into the thing. Hubbard Dianetic Foundation. He gets here and says, "Say," he says, "what kind of a what? Do you know this fellow Hubbard?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, I know a fella who knows a girl who used to be Hubbard's secretary." Well, we go on. And I reach the signature on the letter. This guy right away upset, confused. Now, the point is that there's evidently a cycle through which a subject has to go. You know, it was years before relativity was accepted. Einstein was called any dirty name you could think of for a while. I'm comparing myself to him, but anyway, he's produced an atom bomb. Anyway, point is they were awful mean to him, and then the whole field of mathematics went into propitiation with regard to him. The whole field. Until about 1932, there were 12 men in the United States who were regarded with some awe, who themselves regarded themselves with some awe, because they understood something about Einstein. Well, it was propitiation, more or less, because I tried to talk to one of these boys. Once I wanted to run an article in the college newspaper with regard to Einstein's theory of relativity as discussed by a certain professor who was one of the 12 men in the United States who knew something about the theory of relativity, and he became very angry that anybody else could know something about the theory of relativity, or that anybody could communicate it through a newspaper, or say anything about it in any way. It was very upsetting to him. But he spoke with such sympathy about the whole thing that today, knowing some of these mechanisms, I wonder if he wasn't amongst the toughest doubters at the first issuance of that theory. They've been awful mean to us. They've been plenty mean to us. High, low, jack in the game. Now, let's knock them down the emotional curve. That's horrible, you know. And the way you do it is to find a miracle and then turn them out. So you can turn out a certain percentage of miracles. The lame aren't good enough. You just want somebody who can't walk. The blind, that's fine. But don't get people blind in just one eye. You want a see-an-eye dog type of blindness. And if you follow out that line of advance, you will then, as a third, fifth, tenth echelon reaction, you will help all the others. The hard way to do it is try to help everybody. The hard way to do it is try to hit every case. The tough way to go about it is try to make people happier and more successful. It's not kant to kin, that's all. I mean, it just isn't that direct division. So their people are happier. There's a lot of people in this world don't want people any happier. But the whole public as a whole is educated in the believing that a miracle is a desirable and a strange thing. We can turn them out? Let's turn them out. Now, the first time you turn out a miracle, you probably go into it rather doubtfully, in spite of the fact it'll say in the book you must be inexorable in your approach. If you realize that some small percentage of these cases will snap to, on a minimal address to the case, you won't be straining at it, trying to hang yourself, your whole proposition, your whole life up on whether or not this one person who can't see, sees again. Because he's a part of the whole pattern of all blind people. Let's take it mathematically. Here's all the blind of the world as a set. They exist as individuals, and each one is valuable as an individual. But the problem is to take apart this set, in other words, this puzzle of blind people. You take apart this puzzle of blind people. You understand that? You don't do it by taking every blind man, one after the other, as they come up the line, and then hanging yourself up with a solution of his case. That is not the way you do it. Any more than you can make a nation sane by processing every individual in it to sanity. It takes too long. So consider blindness as a set, a puzzle. And figure out how to solve the whole puzzle. And the way you solve the whole puzzle is to just pass through case without promising the case very much. Say, well, in a certain number of cases it happens. If the person works hard, if he cooperates with the auditor, it'll happen. I don't require any faith and belief particularly. We don't care about that. But if the fellow works hard and is cooperative, why, we can do something for him. Then just start down your cases and don't spend very much time on any one of them. All of a sudden, bang, you'll get one there, one there, one there. They were already blow anyhow. I mean, someone could have come along with last week's techniques and blown them. They undoubtedly, by the way, and all kidding aside, probably would have blown with last year's techniques. But they're all ready to go. All of a sudden, it starts word of mouth all over. Dianetics is turning on people's sight. Everybody who's blind, who really wants help, objects to being blind, and isn't basing all the approval of his life upon being blind, will be on the other end of a telephone, as far as you're concerned. His case will blow that much easier. But if his case doesn't blow, oh well, you say give it a little time, try it again. It works in most cases. It isn't a failure in your case. Probably it just didn't work hard enough. Make him the blame, see? Make him cause of his own sight recovery. And keep going. Take the little kids that are sick in bed, handle it the same way. But you can become very emotionally involved with an individual, one man, and you say, I'm going to make this guy. I'm going to make blind men, but I'm going to make this guy see again. And you just cut yourself down that much. And when you get through with that case, and you have suddenly discovered that you didn't get very far with a case, that he's merely happier or something of the sort, and his sight did not recover, then you don't go into a failure cycle. Say, a failure cycle is nothing to be afraid of. But it's, in this case, completely stupid. Why should you go into a failure cycle because you failed to turn on the eyesight of a man? Do you know that it's taken 2,000 years since there have been any of these real routine miracles? Now, let's set up shop and undo three specific problems. Well, I know you got a lot of pre-clears on your hands that's hanging on your skirts and so forth. Give them the book. Tell them to give you a call. And go to work on this one. Work on blindness, arthritis, camps, and kids in bed with polio, after effects of polio. Just work on those categories. Don't take kids that have been all chewed up by surgery. You can make them better off, but they're not spectacular, that's all. You can establish, then, the fact that Dianetics can turn on miracles. Now, if it can turn on miracles, the miracles exist, and you haven't bothered to publicize them. You don't worry about publicizing. They'll do their own publicity. The next thing you know, the cases that you wouldn't have been able to crack, just merely because the guy is saying, oh, I've got to have this, or something of the sort, they'll start cracking. You'll have tackled three problems simultaneously then. After effects of polio. Dear old FDR built up a tremendous national sympathy complex on this. Actually, the truth be known, numerically, polio is not even serious compared to tuberculosis, heart trouble, and any number of other illnesses, because it is very few. There are not very many of them. If you wanted to help the set called All Children, you would be going in on the basis of straightening out their poor, befuddled little heads on the subject of should I obey, or am I myself, or where am I going, or what's my name, and setting them up so that the strong ones in the society would become strong. That would be the efficient way to take care of the sets of children. But we're already taking care of the set called children. We're already taking care of that if we suddenly start getting polio kids on their feet. If we can get a few polio kids on their feet, then somebody is going to pay some attention to Dianetics as far as kids are concerned. And you will have not only resolved the bulk of the cases of polio after effects, believe me, there's plenty of those that are walking. They're around, but they're very unhappy about it. But just by specializing in the miracle side of this, you resolve to a large degree the rest of these cases. Now you resolve the whole set of children. If it does this much for polio, they say it does something in education. I'm having trouble with little Johnny. He tore all the wallpaper off the wall day before yesterday. I'll take Johnny down to see that man. They bring Johnny down to see that man. You say, hello, kid. How are you? Would you wait outside, kid? And you say, well, now let's find out what's wrong with you, madam. A tremendous hurdle has been overcome. Tremendous hurdle. It would have taken tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of auditors to have carried the ball. We need more auditors. We haven't got anywhere near enough. But by golly, for the first time, a handful of us can knock an impact into the society that'll be so rough for the society to try to throw anything back on. You know, anybody trying to stop Dionysus on a miracle line have an interesting time of it. They have to go around and see all the neighbors of every person who had had a miracle recovery and say, now you know this isn't true. Mr. Jones doesn't exist. That can't be done then, can it? Now I'm not saying that everybody's against Dionysus. That's a very paranoid reaction. It doesn't happen to be true. Girl went up to see hospital the other day, get herself a shot of penicillin. Doctor, right here in Wichita, doctor says to her, what's your name, occupation, so forth? She gave it and immediately connected her with Dionysus. And he said, that's an interesting thing. He said, I've been keeping an eye on that. He said, we've had a lot of fights up here in the staff meetings at the hospital. Several of us have come to the conclusion there must be definitely something in it. Now, you know, if people attack something hard enough, there's almost always an automatic response on another part of the people to defend it. For instance, my family, I number in my family maybe 40 or 50 people are scattered all over the United States. Their aunts and uncles and all of this sort of thing, besides my parents, and a lot of people. When I first came out with Dionysus, I was the baby of the family. I always was. And they were very tolerant. Well, that's interesting, Ronald. Very interesting, Ronald. Since this newspaper publicity has hit, these people are pulling 100% for me with no further information. Over Christmas, I was receiving a bunch of Christmas cards. I spent Christmas with my parents out in Phoenix, where they are for the winter. And there wasn't a card there that didn't mention encouragement to Ron. I don't know what percentage of the society is for an underdog, but right now, woof. So, the method of dissemination of Dionysus, how we go about the handling of this book to preclears, is also the question of how do we get preclears. And for those of us who are still low enough in the tone scale to have to eat, how do we get money for processing? Well, there are three answers. Three possible answers. And there are many more, possibly and probably. But there are three which have come up here, which make it rather easy to do this. That's why I'm also glad here to see your smiling faces, because I want to tell you about these three methods. I want you to think them over, and I definitely want your opinion with regard to them. You've been out there fighting the battle, not in the front line trench. That's the foundation. You've been out there in those lonely bastions, which are way off on the horizon there, and observation posts and so forth, that are many of them far behind the enemy lines. Now, we have then a certain amount of advance to talk to you about here. And I have some very definite additions to give you with regard to Dionysus in general, and I want some very definite opinions from you. Now, one of the things that's going to monitor this book is your reaction in the field, which you will collect from your preclears. When you find that you are constantly explaining one point Anytime you're explaining one point, not your opinion of it, but when you're explaining one point over and over and over and over and over and over again, you say, God, haven't I explained this for the last time? You put that on a good standard brief report back to the foundation. I have explained this point about Dianetics too many times. You say what the point is. Give what your general explanation is that has been found acceptable on that. And shoot it in. Therefore, we will be able to keep this book highly informative for your preclears. Don't expect this book now to be perfect. This book was tested on written sheets, handwritten, some of them, to individuals. It needs a very thorough mauling. But oddly enough, this book, as it is, I have seen already turn off one psychosomatic illness, sinusitis, by the person's reaching the end of the second act. Another case I just heard about, I haven't heard very many cases on this book yet, as a printed piece, had lost another one and had evidently gotten along beautifully, knew nothing about Dianetics, had read this book up to that point, and about Act 3, and suddenly snapped to. Now I have some of this material out. And since the book has been issued, a few copies of it were handed out in various places. I have seen one person to whom this book was given, just one, that I knew that former techniques and processes didn't do anything for. Person way up the tone scale. Fascinating. In other words, the printed copy is living up to the expectations contained in the handwritten copy. But that does not say, and I'm not trying to sell you, the idea that this book is perfection. But I am giving you the idea that this book can be handed out just as it is to your preclears and works just as it is. As this book works better for your preclears, it will require from you less work. And that's the ratio we're adjusting. We're adjusting how much money in time, time being money when you're investing in lots of cases, how much time do you as an auditor have to invest in the case? In other words, let's adjust this thing. And right now, it balances out. The equation is balanced. You as the auditor, with what you know, and this book in the hands of the preclear, make 100. What you know, an advanced procedure in this book in the hands of the preclear, with you working as an auditor on the preclear, is 100. Now, what we're trying to do from here on out is save minutes or hours of your time as an auditor by improving the book. We can then run up the number of cases which you as an individual can handle. Fine. Maybe with this book at the beginning, you might only be able to handle 5-10 cases. When you will have to be in that level of operation depends exclusively upon how long it takes us to produce the number of miracles necessary to put the society at 1-0 with regard to Dianetics. I don't know. I don't know. I would say 5 or 10 a town would adequately do it. I can tell you that 20 miracles here in Wichita might suffice for the whole nation also. Because word of mouth is very peculiar. It runs fast. Newspapers love to tell you they are necessary to the community life. Well, they'll carry classified ads and help you keep lost your lost wallet. They will whet your appetite for various types of automobiles and so forth. They give you an instantaneous sort of a thing. But do you know, I have never received a major piece of news from a newspaper. I have yet to receive a major piece of news from a newspaper. Somebody stopped me and told me. I walked out of a little cigar store on 8th Avenue in New York, and a bum was standing there, and he just had access to a radio. And he stopped me and he said, Pearl Harbor is being bombed. I imagine that by radio and so forth, the number of people who were at radios at that moment were not too many. But the amount of news which suddenly spread from those radios by word of mouth was tremendous. People have calculated it takes 24 hours for a joke to get from New York to San Francisco. Some argue with them and say it takes 36. But the amount of travel on hot news or hot interest is very fast. So we're not going to worry about the newspapers. Yes, the newspapers will cover it. First newspaper reporter that walks in the foundation says, how about them last 10 miracles you guys pulled off, in his usual educated baritone? I would say, who are you? Well, I'm from the Beacon. And I say, what's that? And he'll say, well, that's a newspaper in town. Oh, I said, you mean that advertising sheet you hand out from house to house? We're not interested. Because you see, you can practically kill a newspaper if you don't give them news. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to see the Beacon dead. I just want to see it in other hands. Because Max Levand, the owner of the local Beacon, was told about this little girl from Indiana, which is just one case. He was told about it, and he wanted to know why he should send over a reporter. It's going to be very, very mean, because we're going to give a public lecture. I'm going to give a public lecture in Wichita in a few weeks. Afraid I'm going to have to announce to people. We're going to build it up kind of strong. Afraid I'm going to have to tell people at that time that it's too bad that the owner of the Beacon doesn't care what happens to little children. Well, I think I've given you a quick brace on what we can expect. I expect something else to happen. Ever since you came into Dianetics, each individual one of you, ever since you came into Dianetics, you wanted to see your own case. Snap two. All right, let them snap. Because they'll snap now. I know they will. Even mine did. Well, let's take a 10-minute break and then come back and get technical.